How do children's authors build strong book businesses and grow their impact? By hanging out with Lori here on The Writer's Way. Today, I get to talk to author and marketing expert, Brandi Johnson. I'm so excited to have her here. I discovered her book in August and realized how useful the information was, and it's just my style. It was called Minimum Viable Marketing, and it is right up my alley, so I know that all of you are going to enjoy it too. Hello, writers. Welcome back to the Writer's Way podcast. I'm here with Brandi Johnson. Thank you so much for coming on today, Brandi.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks so much for having me, Lori.
You are welcome. So Brandi, I'm so excited to talk to you about. Brandi is a published author, but not a children's book, which is who we usually talk to on the show. But she's written a book about marketing that in the Writers Club Facebook group, we're actually using for a book club book right now. September might not have been the best time to start the book club, I'll be honest with you, because everybody's so busy with school and stuff. But can you just talk to us quickly about like your journey as an author and what you've learned about as an author, and then we can get a little bit more deep into the marketing stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. So my journey as an author, oh my goodness. So I have been a reader and a book lover my entire life. My mom tells stories about when she sent me to preschool and they would say, I'll read you the book. And I would say, nope, I'll read you the book. And so I always knew in some way that books were going to be part of my future. But unfortunately, I was told very sternly when I was in high school that don't get a degree in literature because
won't pay the bills. Yeah.
I started with a degree in biochemistry wanting to do gene therapy. And then I switched over to marketing because I didn't want to spend so many years in the lab. And I went into marketing with the intention of helping people. Mm-hmm. I ended up getting a job in B2B tech magazine publishing right out of college. And then from there, I went and worked at a company that a few of you may have heard of that actually published Writer's Digest magazine. So we published Writer's Digest magazine, Writer's Market, Children's and Illustrators Market.
We always talk about that book.
Yep, absolutely. So I actually did all of their e-commerce marketing for about 6 years. And so that woke the bug up. You're going to write something bug.
Yeah.
So fast forward. But what was great about that is I learned so much about the publishing journey and how long it takes and all of that kind of stuff. And I learned about it from the inside of the nonfiction publishing business, as well as from everything that I was studying to market children's writers market,
right,
and all of that stuff. So after my daughter was born and I was starting to run my own business, I just knew that there was this book in me. And I did not want to wait until I went through that whole process of pitching and publishing and agents and all that kind of stuff. And I said, I'm a smart girl. I am just going to go self-publish this guy. Yeah. So nights and nap times, I wrote my book, Minimum Viable Marketing. I hired an editor. I hired a cover designer. Yeah. I figured out how to get my ISBN and all of that crazy stuff. And I self-published my first book, like I said, Minimum Viable Marketing. So I really wrote it. It was a labor of love, but I wanted to be able to help people get out of the overwhelm on marketing, because there's so many gurus out there or so many corporate marketers that say, if you're not doing X or not doing Y, then you're not going to make it. And my tact on it is very different about really sustainable and achievable marketing.
Which is why I totally fell in love with it. And I read it. It's not directed at authors per se, but so much of it, all of it applies. And I just felt like, okay, we're not doing this. We need to be doing this. How long has the book been out?
I published it. Oh my goodness. It came out in January of 2019.
Okay. That right? So yeah. Coming up to 2 years.
Yeah.
Cool. And has it been received well?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, everybody who has gravitated toward it absolutely loves it. I get messages from people on a regular basis who say like, ooh, I'm rebuilding my website and I went back to what you talked about in XYZ and stuff like that. So yeah, it's been really well received in the market. People have really liked it. And what I love best is when people message me and they actually say, like, I get my marketing now and I'm not overwhelmed by it anymore. I love it. Yeah.
And, so it's been, and we appreciate that. I think as children's authors, it's like the rare unicorn amongst us that has any marketing or business background, right? Largely we're teachers, counselors, moms who just saw a need and we're just writing about something. I'm going to apologize for my dog. He's going crazy. I hope you don't hear him. I hear him. I just really appreciated your book. And then also, if anybody looks up the book, and maybe it's from your website, but you have some free resources that go along with it, which also like are so valuable and appreciated.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I really wrote the book and created the resources because there are so many business owners, book authors, course creators, my daughter's toddler music class teacher, all of these people with these passions that they want to bring to the world without that business background and knowledge on how to do it.
Right.
And so many of the things feel so scary and so overwhelming. And the other thing that's really interesting, like with the children's, with the author space, children's authors and otherwise, is because of the competitive landscape in marketing or in publishing. If you want to go down a more traditional publishing route, they're going to ask questions about what's your website traffic? What audience have you already built? What are you bringing to the publishing house to help promote yourself? So even if you've gone down a self-published route for your first three books and you're starting to get noticed and picked up, that's a question that publishers are asking, is what audience do you already have that we can leverage? Because that's going to play a factor.
Right. So you need to know and have something in place, and you can't just say, well, I posted on my Facebook.
Right. Right. And they're going to want to know what size is your email list.
Right.
And all of those things, having those things in place are going to work in your favor.
Right. So, which is why we need to do them. So
it's so much easier to start in the beginning. Like when you're doing it, while you've got that enthusiasm, I've talked to a lot of people who want to wait, and I always tell them, like, don't wait until it takes off, because you're missing that big burst of opportunity and enthusiasm.
Right. And then you're so busy. It takes a ton of time to set up, or it ideally feels like it anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then
that's the goal, is that you're too busy to set up your email list or your website or whatever when the book comes out, because you want to be doing, you know, talking on podcasts or doing events in your town and all those kind of things. You want to be spending your time doing that, not figuring out Squarespace or ActiveCampaign or whatever that stuff is.
It feels overwhelming.
It can. It really can.
So let's say I'm a new author, brand new, my books just come out or coming out. Where would you suggest I start with my marketing?
Yeah. So with your marketing, and I talk about this in Minimum Viable Marketing, I always say that any business owner, and that's you, authors, you,
looking at you,
owning your little business of your book, you need a website and you need an email list. And the reason for that is your website is essentially the storefront. It is your welcome mat for your business. And it doesn't have to be super complicated. It doesn't have to be a $10,000 website. You can go sign up on Squarespace, use one of their templates. A book, I outline a very simple, like, 5-page website. You need a homepage. You need an about page. You need a contact page. You're going to need a privacy policy.
Yeah.
You're going to have an email list. But you don't need a lot, but you need a place for people to come when they talk about your book. And, or, you know, for you to be able to add free resources, let people connect with you. That's why you need your website. And you need a website because, and an email list, because when you're building all of your stuff on social media, which, don't get me wrong, I love social media, but you're building on someone else's land. So when the algorithms change, your visibility can change.
Right.
And that's the other reason for an email list. People get really intimidated when we talk about having an email list.
Yeah.
But it's funny. Actually, my email newsletter that went out today was about emails are so hard and they take so long. And the fact is like, A, you don't have to email every week. You certainly don't have to email every day. You can email every couple of weeks, maybe even once a month, depending on what you have. But it's the ultimate in permission-based marketing. And that's where people who love what you're doing are going to sign up and connect with you. And that's where you can get so many more sales because you're showing up right in their inbox. Yep. Email marketing has between a 41 and 43% return on investment usually.
Wow.
Like it's huge. It's the highest return on investment that you can have. And if you're only doing it once a month or once every 2 weeks, you're not writing 14 posts a week like you do to keep up with social media and stay visible.
Right.
So those two things, the website and the email list, again, Squarespace is great for this.
Do you recommend that over Wix or do you have a preference for the?
So I haven't worked as much with Wix. What I have found in my research and kind of historically is that Squarespace has a few more advanced SEO options.
Okay.
So it's a little bit easier to work with in that regard. They also have more integrations with email service providers to make that process more seamless. As a matter of fact, Squarespace has even released their own email marketing stuff built in. It's not going to have as many bells and whistles as a third party, like a MailerLite would. Uh-huh. But I mean, to get started, even that works just fine. But I found that they have more advanced, like more integrations that are just built.
Yeah. Cool.
And okay. I've got plans starting at something like $10 a month. So
Squarespace does?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, at least the last time I looked, so like there, you're not looking at, oh my goodness, I have to spend,
hundreds.
I guess, thousands of dollars on my website. And because you can do everything through them, you also don't have to worry about where's my host and what's my DNS and all this crazy, like scary technical stuff.
Well, that sounds easy enough.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all drag and drop too.
That's
so
nice.
You pick your template. I mean, it's as easy as working in Canva. It's probably easier than figuring out KDP, to be really honest.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go, everybody. If you can figure out KDP enough to get your book out there, you can figure out Squarespace and get a website up.
Yeah,
I've heard some people say, well, a Facebook business page would be a great alternative to a website. Where do you stand on that?
So, I consider social media, like a Facebook business page, I consider it a great auxiliary add-on, but I don't think it's a good replacement. The reason for that is that Facebook makes the rules with your Facebook business page. So a few years ago, Facebook business pages were doing really well. They were going gangbusters. But Facebook looked at their algorithm and how people were engaging. And they saw that people wanted to connect with people more than they wanted to connect with businesses. So Facebook deprioritized Facebook pages in the algorithm, which meant that people's visibility went down.
Yeah.
So it was harder to find their audience with their Facebook page. Even if they were posting the same amount, they had the same number of fans, it became harder. So then, as a business owner of a Facebook page, you had to choose. You either basically turn to running paid ads, boosting your posts, and then you're spending money, which who wants to spend money? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
We all like cheap marketing and free marketing. Me too. Or people started building Facebook groups because groups were not deprioritized in the algorithm. So you still got visibility because the concept of the group is you're bringing people together around a shared topic. So it's more person to person as opposed to business to person.
Right.
So those people who had built everything on their Facebook business page struggled.
Just like a flick of a button and all of a sudden.
Yeah. And we don't have any control over that as marketers, as business owners. We are at their mercy. I'm old enough to remember when MySpace was big and popular. At one point, MySpace in their heyday had, I hope I get the numbers right, like 2.5 billion user sessions a month.
That seems like
a lot. That's 2.5 billion people coming to their website in a month. 9 years later, which I mean is a long time, but that dropped to 2.5 million.
Wow.
It was a drop of 99.6%. So if you build your business on Facebook and then the new hot thing comes in, you've got to be on whatever that new hot thing is.
Right. And
capturing that, if you're really dependent on that social media stuff, don't get me wrong. Like I said, I love social media. I am part of Facebook groups. I engage, I post about my stuff. I don't focus on it. I focus in other places in my business because I don't want to build my business on somebody else's land in that regard. Okay. So
you've got me convinced.
No. And like I said, like it's, they're really cool and they're a good way to create conversation and they're great for like impromptu. Ooh, I had this idea. I want to post it. I want to do a go live. It's the same thing with Instagram or any of those social platforms. Like there is a place for them,
yeah.
But that's not where you want to only put your attention. And right. And so you add those, you layer those on top of the foundation, your email list and your website. Cause then you're sending everybody back there and capturing them though.
So you use your Facebook and your Instagram and your social media to send people back to your main platform, which is your website or your email list.
Yep.
Okay. That sounds doable.
Yeah. I mean, it makes it pretty simple too, right? So, you know, when you're thinking about a call to action, like, hey, here's this new book that I'm working on. If you want to get the sneak peek, make sure you're on my email list. Or here's one page of the book that I illustrated. I'm going to share three pages with my email list. Make sure you're there. Like
that's not
exclusive content and, you know, more behind the scenes.
And it doesn't sound like salesy spammy at all. Cause I know a lot of people are like, I don't want to tell people to buy my stuff, but that doesn't sound pushy.
No. And I am not a salesy pushy person at all. I have ended up in sales role because I end up being friendly, but you know, the goal is to get people to know, like, and trust you. And
right.
How do we make it easy for them to say yes? And in particularly with children's book authors, there's a lot of competition out there for parents' attention.
Yes.
I mean, I'm a parent. I've got a 3-year-old. I buy a lot of kids' books. I read a lot of kids' books.
Yeah.
And so I can tell you, I mean, I am your target customer in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I'm at the bookstore, when I'm at Amazon, like there's so much coming at me in that space. But when I find something and it's like, oh, by the way, you can sign up for my email list and I'll give you 3 do at home craft ideas based on this book. I'm like, oh my gosh, you just saved me because now I have an activity and a book and I can tie it together. And now I have a whole day, maybe a whole week.
Right.
Good stuff.
Right.
I'm going to thank you for that. You just made my life easier. And now I can recommend you to my friends in my mom group because you made my day easier.
Right. Which is what we're all looking for.
Right. And so, you know, whatever those things are, whether it's, you know, if you're writing for a little bit older kids that are reading on their own, give the parents some discussion questions.
Yeah.
As the author, like you can create that stuff. You can generate that stuff to like increase the longevity of the book. And as a parent, we're going to sign up for that. Cause again, you're making it easier for me.
Right. And if people don't know you offer that.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing.
They're not going to go looking.
Mm-hmm. By saying like, hey, I offer X. I provide value after you close the cover.
That's a great way to put it. Value beyond the book.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah,
what,
I mean,
yeah.
So I think, and there's a lot of ways to do that without being salesy, spammy, yeah. Gross.
I think so too. If you don't want to be spammy, don't be spammy. We're writers, right? We don't have to be.
If it feels spammy to you, do it different.
Do it differently. Yeah.
There's no right or wrong way. I mean, unless you break the law, there's a law. You don't want to break the laws.
Please don't. But I saw it on Lori's podcast.
Right. You know, like it's, it's all about being authentic to what's going to work for you. Because if it feels spammy to you, it's going to come across as spammy and people aren't going to engage with it anyway.
I love that. Thank you for sharing about that. I think that's an important message that I hope people really internalize. In the book, in I think the second chapter, you start talking about branding a little bit. Mm-hmm. So if other writers out there are like me with no sales marketing background, like how do you brand yourself? Like what's the basis of that?
Yeah. So a lot of people think brand is going to be stuff like your logo and your color
scheme. Totally.
That's a little bit of it. I mean, that's your visual branding. So with your visual branding, you want people to be able to glance at it and say, "Ooh, I recognize that." You want to deliver a continuity, if you will, across that.
How important is a visual continuity?
It's not like, so it depends on which pieces you're looking at. So okay. You want a visual continuity between your website, what you're sending in your emails, and then like any branding that you put on your social media platforms. So like your header images, your little thumbnail icon, like your thumbnail photo.
Yeah.
Be consistent across those things. When you're really getting into the meat of your posts, what I suggest is if you're doing something that's like a quote, have a couple of templates that you use for that. So that when I'm scrolling and I see it, I'm like, oh, okay, that's the color scheme. That's got their little, you know, icon on it, whatever that is. You can have three or four of those that you rotate through so you're not like yawn every time you go to create one, but whatever you're pulling out. And then I know Instagram is so popular where we want to share like our lifestyle images and stuff like that, which is totally fine and great. Those are not going to be on brand from a visual thing. Like I can't be like, okay, Lori, it looks like your brand color is maybe that beautiful like slate blue behind you. So I'm going to need you to only wear slate blue shirts in all of your photos. Okay.
It would make getting dressed easy.
And that's not what we're going for. But like what you want to do with that is just make sure, you know, that the things that you can and do create for that tend to be a little bit standardized. So if you're always posting trees, then, you know, it's going to be hard if all of a sudden you're like, here's a seashell. Like, I'm not going to be like, oh, that's Lori's, wait, who's posting seashells now?
Right.
So again, it's just that like basic continuity.
Okay.
The other thing that's really going to help is, and this hopefully is a little bit easier for the writers than it is for some of the others, is having a continuity of your brand voice. And I think this is where a lot of people struggle.
Yes.
So your brand voice is just how you want to communicate with people. And this goes back to what we were just talking about being spammy, salesy, gross. Mm-hmm. A lot of us, and myself included, I still get into this mode when I'm writing salesy posts, because I write them, is as soon as we feel like we're promoting something, it's almost like we put on the gross jacket, like from like the old plaid used car salesman kind of thing. And we're like, hey, little missy, I can get you in this ride for just $500. Or something like that. Like,
it's totally true though. And is it like the influence of everything we've seen, even if we don't like it, like we're just channeling it because it's all we know.
Yeah, I think it is. I think we're channeling it because it's probably worked on us before. It's worked against us before.
Yes.
And I think we have to talk differently to some.
Yeah. So we don't?
No, you don't. I mean, because again, and the way that I like to approach this is from that helping standpoint. I'm helping you.
Right.
And so I always encourage people, particularly when they're writing sales posts and they're not comfortable in that space, is like, pretend that you're having coffee with your ideal client. And you're like, they're lamenting about the problem that you solve. And you're like, oh, I saw something that could really help you. Here's what it was.
Which is totally maybe even, what you would do to a friend or say to a friend.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like you would do with a friend.
Yeah.
And you can even take out the I created this side of it and talk about it like I just found this and it is great. And don't make it about me. Like,
right.
And that's going to help you get like that authenticity back in your voice in talking about it and being enthusiastic about it without getting slimy, sleazy, salesy, gross.
No car salesman speak.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's going to make people feel a lot more comfortable creating those posts too, when they think about it in that A, the helping way, and B, like they're just having a coffee conversation. If you're struggling with that, you can also read your post back out loud. You'll sound like a crazy person if you are in a public place.
Yeah, don't do it in a coffee shop.
Don't do it at a coffee shop. Okay. Go to the car. But like read those posts back and like see how the words feel in your mouth. Like we all know you guys write children's books.
Yeah.
A lot of them get read out loud. You've read them out loud to yourself, I'm sure.
Totally.
See how it feels. See how it feels when you say it, how you hear it.
Yeah.
If you're uncomfortable, like if you're not sure, ask a friend. I mean, you guys have that great network that Lori's putting together for you guys. You know, reach out to somebody in there and say, hey, give me some feedback, you guys, on my blurb. Like I'm trying to achieve X. Does it get there?
Yeah. And it's not something you'll do forever, right? You'll do it for your first few posts to sort of, yeah, like you said, establish your voice so that you, yeah, get the hang of it.
Yeah. 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 You won't do it forever, but particularly while you're warming up and building up those muscles,
yeah,
think of it like a spotter at the gym.
Nice.
You're not, yeah, always going to need a spotter until you go up in weight class. But in the beginning, it's nice to have that personal trainer show you how the gym works.
Totally.
It's nice to have, you know, another person tell you like, no, you're good. You're not a slimy salesman today.
Yeah. There's no reactance happening.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I feel like we could go on and on. So would you come back and talk to me again? Maybe in a month. Okay. And then we'll go a little bit more in deep.
Anytime.
Okay. Thank you so much, Brandy. And is it brandyjohnson.com? Do I have that right?
It's heybrandy.com.
Heybrandy.com. Brandy.
Yeah. Super easy. It's Brandy with an I. So yeah. Hey, Brandy.
Hey, Brandy. Oh, I love that. Okay, cool. Well, thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Okay. Bye-bye.
She's great, right? Down to earth, just like the rest of us, but with that little bit of knowledge that I didn't have before. Since I spoke to Brandy a couple of weeks ago, she's actually revamped, rebranded, and her website is no longer Hey Brandy. It's now minimumviablemarketing.com. And if you're listening to this on the website, then it's linked below in the contact us information. If you were listening and you're like, hey, I want to get in on that book club, find me on Facebook. It's The Writers Club, and it's writers like my last name. So WRIGHTERS Club. And it's just a group that I host to try to share more marketing information with people just like me who need it, who need some help. Okay, my friends, I will talk at you next week. Bye for now.